I want to talk to you tonight about the subject, give us oil. I'd like for you to turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 25, verse number 1. And we'll read the first 13 verses. Thank you, Mark, for leading the service. I was going to bring him a necktie, but just a joke. Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil in flask along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the prudent answered, "No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came saying, "Lord, Lord, open up for us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day or the hour." Father, bless your word to our understanding tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. There was a young couple in a Middle Eastern city. They had proposed. They were betrothed to each other. They were going to get married. They were most likely in their teens, but they were very excited as their wedding day approached. It would be set 1 year away from their time of betrothal. The young man and his family would have to accumulate a bride price that would be expected by the bride's family as payment just before the actual wedding. Family and friends were made aware of the engagement. In fact, there was probably a set of announcements that went out to say, a year from now, there's going to be a wedding. We don't know the date yet, but there'll be a wedding. So people could prepare for it. The year went fast for the parents. You can imagine they had to get all the arrangements made. But extremely slow for the young couple, waiting a year while their parents haggled over details. Finally, the groom's parents raised the money, and the bride's parents were notified that it was time for final negotiations and the wedding itself. A date was set, a date for the negotiations and the wedding was set, and a second set of invitations were sent out to all the people. Some of the invitations went to the bride's friends together at her house for a party on the night of the wedding. And some of the invitations went to the groom's friends and his family together in his home for the night of the wedding banquet. On the day of the wedding, the bride readied herself. You can imagine, all day long, her attendants joined in the festivities and they planned and they worked all throughout the day. Her father and the father of the groom were gathered together in a room with brothers and uncles, men of the family, haggling over final financial arrangements. They went back and forth and back and forth and all the way to midnight before the bride's father and the groom's father came to an agreement. At that point, the groom's father nodded to his son, the groom, who was most likely in the room. His father said all was set. He gave him a signal. And at that point, the groom went out and took an entourage with him and headed for the bride's house. When he was a short distance away, he sent a spokesperson up to the door to announce his arrival. At that point, the attendants of the bride all lit their lanterns, and they jumped up with her to go out of her house and make the trek across town to the groom's parents' house. Now, for the bride's attendants to be successful in their job, what they had to do was light the way. There was one essential ingredient to lighting the way, and that was oil for the lamps. They had to have a supply of oil to keep their lamps burning brightly, because five of them were going to be on this side of the bride and five on this side of the bride, and they were going to walk down the dark street lighting the way for the bride to get to the wedding feast at the groom's house. But five of the bride's attendants did not properly prepare for their assigned task. They had the same dresses on as the others, the same outward appearance as the others. They received the same invitation. They were to perform the same task. They were to light their lamps, walk along beside the bride, and take her to her wedding. They were to know the same joy as the other five. It was theirs to have, but they forgot. They failed. They disregarded the notice, or they simply decided for some strange reason not to bring enough oil. It was theirs to have, but they didn't do it. About the time they were supposed to get up and do their work, they were looking at that moment for a supply of oil. Now you can imagine, it was midnight, the scripture tells us. Can't you see them as they ran down to the Bethlehem 7-Eleven? Only to discover it closed at 11, 1 hour earlier. They were just an hour too late. And by the time they scurried around and found a 24-hour store with all those weird people that go at 1 o'clock in the morning, by the time they found that 24-hour store and bought the oil, the bridal procession had already happened. With the five lamps, they took the bride to the groom's house and went in for the celebration. So when these other five who ran out of oil finally got there to the groom's house, they knocked on the door, but the doorman came and would not let them in because they hadn't come at the appointed time. What a party it was. What a joyful time. The banquet would be spread and it would go on for hours, maybe even days. It would be the most lavish party in town for that whole year. And they missed it because they did not prepare. This parable is about a joy-filled occasion for the bride and for the groom and for the five wise virgins. This evening was extremely exciting and fulfilling. It was a night of extreme rejoicing. May I tell you, that's how your life and mine's supposed to be. That's how our lives are supposed to be. Day by day, as we live day by day, we are to prepare for extreme joy in the presence of the Lord. Day by day, we're to look forward daily to Him meeting with us. And even more are we to anticipate the glorious day of His returning when He calls us into His presence. Our call is simply be ready to receive Him. Just get ready. He's coming your way. Lloyd John Ogilvie said, preparedness to experience joy is the vocation of the Christian. Wow. Just look at our reasons for joy. Why, He's promised all the way back in Joshua chapter 1, He's promised He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's with us. Right here, Jesus Himself said, I'm with you all the way, even into the end of the age. He will never forsake us, never leave us, never turn His back on us. Isn't that a reason for joy? Isn't that a reason to have something bubble up inside you and create inside you intense joy? You've got a companion that won't go away. And secondly, He's promised to comfort us, to fill us. The paraclete is not one like us, it's one like Him. Another comforter is one more like him, just like the first, just like him who comes along beside us and represents Jesus to the Father on our behalf. He's promised to comfort us and fill us and empower us and give us his joy all along the way. And the third thing, he's promised to return at an hour when we don't yet know and take us out of this mess and into his glorious presence. He's promised it. In an hour that you think not, the Son of Man will come. It's not something that you can prepare for in a moment's notice. You just have to be prepared. Ever go to somebody's house totally unannounced, and yet in 15 or 20 minutes, the most delicious food was placed out on the table? I've always wondered how people do that. But I've experienced it many times as a preacher, and my dad being a preacher before me, just showing up unannounced. In fact, I got to the point where I'd say, Dad, let's hit that house about 5 o'clock. If anybody's out on visitation, we hit that house at 5 o'clock. We could call home and tell Mom to put away the bologna. We weren't going to be there for it. We have a Lord that says, just at any time you need, I've got a table filled with joy. Come and dine. The Master calleth, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table all the time. But this story that I read to you is about 5 foolish bridesmaids who missed the joy. There's a warning contained in this beautiful story. We're to be alert, anticipating, hoping, prepared for the ultimate joy of meeting Jesus. But there are some who've lost their joy. Their vial of oil is empty, and there's nothing there. I read one sentence from one young man today, one of our students at CBC. I'm going to have to call him in tomorrow, the next day. Well, I can't the next day, tomorrow, and talk to him for a few minutes. He says, I've just lost my faith. I've lost my trust. That's not what we intend to happen at Bible college. But discouragement creeps into the strongest of us. Hard times come. You all have faced them. I've faced them. The things I've faced just this week are enough to cause a guy to get gray hair. Oh, it did. That's right. It did. I need to go back to the well, and I need to have my joy refilled so that I'm prepared for his coming and I'm ready to go with him. I'm ready for the joy of his return. So I need to cry out with the old camp song. I've sung it so many times, but I don't think I've sung it in the last 30 years. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning. The oil of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Christ, prepares us with expectancy and anticipation for the breakthrough of the Lord in each day's experience. We can get up knowing that there's going to be a bright and a radiant presence of God who's going to be with us throughout the day. The same thing we're going to experience in heaven, he's given a foretaste of it here. The thing, the fullness of our redemption in heaven, he's already sealed here with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Everything we're going to experience there, we've been given a taste of here through the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We need the joy of the Lord in our hearts. And he says, come, simply receive. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the joy. Don't you just anticipate some days about all the things, the wonderful things that God's going to do today? Every obstacle that comes in your way, he's given you some kind of means to get through it, around it, over it, under it, to get past it, because joy's on the other side. You remember the Gaither song that says, weeping may endure for the... Actually, David wrote it in the Psalms, but Gaither made millions off of it. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Being filled with the Spirit
makes us ready for anything, Christians. Since the Holy Spirit's within us, we can grapple with issues. When adversities come, we can grow through adversity. And when spiritual darkness seems to settle in all about us, somehow we can find the light of the Spirit of God. We can strike a match and light the candle of the Spirit, and we can go out even into the darkest of the night on the path right toward the coming of the Lord. We can do it because the Spirit Himself is within us, the Spirit of truth. I quoted Lloyd John Ogilvie. He wrote a book called Autobiography of God, in which he really went through the parables, like with a fine-tooth comb, and retold the stories. And here's one of his quotes concerning this passage. He said, "We cannot borrow preparedness." Cannot borrow preparedness. I lived on one short street, a railroad track on one side street, dead-ended into another street down there, just one short street between the railroad track and that other street. And we knew everybody on the block. We knew who to not go to and ask for a cup of sugar because we would get a lecture if we did. But we also knew the people that we could go to ask for a cup of sugar. You can go borrow a cup of sugar or a cup of flour. At least we used to could. Now we'd have to borrow a cup of Splenda. You can borrow those menial things of life, that an egg here or a couple slices of bread there if you need to from your neighbor, but you can't borrow preparedness. If you knew what was going to come along today, you'd probably get prepared. Now, I know tomorrow Doris and I are going to travel, and we prepare differently. Like, she starts tonight and she'll get a suitcase out and she'll get stuff ready and iron stuff and sew on buttons, and whatever she needs to do, it'll all be ready. I'll go to chapel tomorrow at 10:30, knowing we're going to leave at noon, and get on from chapel at 9:45 and grab this and grab that and grab this. Invariably, I'll leave without something. She tends to prepare differently than I do, but the truth is, you can't borrow preparedness. You can't borrow that. You're going to have things come along in your life that you have no time to even stop and pray about. They just happen. The five wise bridesmaids realized that they only had enough oil to do the job they'd been called to do. They couldn't give any away. At that moment, the five foolish bridesmaids couldn't borrow oil. Preparedness. They couldn't borrow it. They had to go out into the night to find it. And they missed everything. They missed the joy. The truth is that in life's crisis moments, you and I have the reserve of the Spirit within us. I think that's why I miss in the pastoral ministry, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and in this sort of weekend warrior ministry that we do, it's hard to tell where I'm going to be on Sunday night. In fact, I told my son that 2 weeks ago Sunday night, I spent an entire week in O'Hare Airport in one Sunday night. Feels like that. But don't you remember times of just waiting around the altar just until you felt your cup was as full as it could ever be? Because somehow down deep inside you, you knew that on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, something was going to come along that would cause you to need every ounce of spiritual strength you ever had. That's the wonder of this baptism in the Holy Spirit. When I need Him, He's there. And when I call upon Him, He's there. In fact, He tells me, "You're going to be taken before a magistrate." Now, I've only been arrested once. It was down in the southern part of the Philippines in a restricted island. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to be there. They sold me an airline ticket to get there, I guess, with the plan to arrest me once they got there. They accused me for more than 2 hours of interrogation of being a CIA agent. And finally, I just took one of the great questions of life, one of the ICI great questions of life in the language of Tagalog, and started preaching it to them in Tagalog. And the guy looked up and said, you're not CIA, you're a preacher. I said, "I've been trying to tell you for 2 hours." There are times you don't have a minute hardly to prepare. A call comes and you're off. The truth is, at life's crisis moments, if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you have the fullness of the Spirit, when you need the Spirit the most, He is there. You've planned, you prepared, you've spent time at the altar, you've searched God, you've believed God, you've walked with God, you've read His Word. There's a storehouse within you of what you need, and when you need Him, He's there. So I have to ask. You don't have to answer, but I have to ask. When did you run out of spiritual power? When did life become a drudgery? When did you just get so dry you could hardly stand it? When did you get so dry that you don't even know if coming to church is going to help? When did that happen? When did it happen? It doesn't have to happen. If it happens, it's not because God's turned off the tap of the Spirit. He's not going to do that until He chooses, somewhere down the road in the tribulation probably. He's not going to do that until His time is ready. Right now, the Holy Spirit's flowing, and the promise is that His Spirit will flow through you like rivers of living water. Let the Spirit of God baptize you anew and afresh. Whoa, I'm sorry, it's Wednesday night and I'm not supposed to get excited, but it's pretty exciting up here. Let the Spirit of God baptize you anew and afresh with His Spirit so that you can walk out of this place full of the joy of the Lord with a reserve to go through tomorrow or the next day. And the last lesson we learn is that when the foolish bridesmaids went to purchase oil, the doors to the party closed. The tragedy of this passage is that they missed their moment of joy. It looked like maybe they would just miss the processional. But they didn't just miss the processional. They missed the banquet. They were left out in the cold, beautiful dresses and all. Wow, I remember one wedding. Columbia, Missouri had a little airport, and sometimes it worked. Little TWA regional planes that used to fly in there after Ozark went out, and TWA came in. And we had a girl flying in from Chicago. She was going to be a bridesmaid in a wedding, but somehow her wedding dress got left, her bridesmaid's dress got left somewhere. And so it just so happened that the groom had a plane. And he flew it to Chicago, picked up the dress. Actually, had someone fly it. Picked up the dress. And I remember the scene. The scene was as that plane landed at the Columbia Airport, somebody was out on the tarmac running alongside the plane, you know, and grabbing the dress out the door of the plane because we were already late with the wedding. Running to the car and running back to the church to get there as quickly as possible because I was a stickler for starting on time. We were already 30 minutes late. But when that girl walked out in that dress, we forgot all about the fact it took a trip to Chicago to get it and all this stuff that it took. It was a wedding. You'd just give anything to be there. I sat across the table at lunch today with a couple. He's teaching for us part-time. If I called his name, some of you would know him. But I sat across today. He brought his wife to chapel, and then she stayed for lunch, and I sat across from them, and I remember their wedding day because I performed the ceremony. I was there. Joy, 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 joy. This whole thing's about joy. This whole story's about joy. And it's about these five foolish women who missed the joy. To tell you the truth, I've been in some church services that they missed the joy. It was biblically correct and everybody looked okay. But you were about as sad when you left as when you went in. Where was the joy? Where was the Holy Spirit moving? I'm telling you, this scripture teaches me, don't miss the joy. Wow. I'd like to point out two things. Number one, there's a time when it's too late for you. Not for God, but for you. You know and I know it's possible for someone to miss the offer of abundant life. It's possible for someone to be passed up because they refuse when they have an opportunity to come to Christ. There's going to be a midnight cry, and that midnight cry is going to split the eastern skies, and Jesus is going to return for his own. There's going to be a time, and there are going to be people who say, if you just give me one more chance, and he'll say, you had every chance I could give you. That's what drives us. We really believe in heaven, and we really believe in hell. And we really believe people that don't love Christ, don't know Christ, are going to hell. And we've got to tell them, because there are people that will miss the joy of the ages because they didn't prepare. But with God, as long as there's breath, it's not too late. It may be 11:30 p.m. on your biological clock or mine, but there's still time to get ready. Oil is yours for the taking. You can have. Did you know on a Wednesday night it's still okay in an Assemblies of God church to get baptized in the Holy Spirit? Did you know that? Did you know that if you haven't had a refilling of the Holy Spirit for, let's say, a month or two or six or eight or a year, or maybe you're like one fella in the church I pastored where he told me it had been 37 years since he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit and he'd never had an experience like it since. And I kept saying, what is wrong with you? How do you make it through the day? No, get that baptism and get it current and get it up to date, because oil is yours for the taking. In a place like this tonight, this is the filling station. This is the place you go. Don't go to 7-Eleven or to some other store. Come right here and hold out your cup and say, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. It's God's free gift. You can't earn it. All you can do is receive this wonderful outpouring. Christ's delay in coming may be for you God's grace extending you this opportunity. One more time, get your cup full. Give me oil. Keep me burning. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your word tonight, this simple parable, and yet such a strong meaning that it has. I pray tonight, fill and refill believers with the Holy Spirit of joy. Just come, Lord. Just come, Lord. Everybody that is filled with the Holy Spirit and just senses that it's the right time to, just begin to implore the Spirit of God just to fill and refill those that are near you that need the infilling of the Holy Spirit tonight. You may, even as the Spirit leads, lay hands on someone's shoulder near you, just praying for them. Oh God, I don't know where this brother or sister is, but tonight's a really good night for a refilling in the Holy Spirit. Come down now, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come down now, Lord Jesus. Come down now, Lord Jesus. Come down now, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, fill the people that sit in these seats with the power of the Holy Spirit to prepare them for joy. The joy of everyday living and the joy of your second coming. And if the trials of life have come hard and heavy at you, and if every bit of joy has been sapped out of you, would you stand and we'll pray for you? If you've come to this service tonight just saying, Brother Denbo, I've faced everything I can face. I don't have enough joy to face tomorrow. It's not an admission of loss. It's just an admission of need. If you feel that way and want to stand, we'll just gather around you like a bunch of brothers and sisters ought to. We'll just pray for you. Please feel free to. time because I don't want to belabor this, but I just felt led of the Lord to say, if you've lost your joy, you can have it back tonight. The Spirit of God will come.